Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 13, and our focus will be verse 16. But we're reading through the end of the chapter. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 13, this is God's word. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become deceived, provoking and envying each other." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I grew up hearing the gospel, but somehow infected with a Pharisaical, legalistic bent toward trying to keep rules in order to make things okay. I, as a young child, wanted to please God, but I had a hard time resting in his grace, simply believing his promises. I knew that my parents loved me, but I also knew they had high standards for me, and I was always trying to live up to those standards and, in a sense, earn their love. Now, they already loved me. But, man, we had rules upon rules upon rules. And it wasn't all God's rules, because the law is summed up in this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're not going to do the other things that God says you shouldn't do. You're not going to lie, and you're not going to steal. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to murder. You're not going to do those things if you're loving your neighbor. You're also not going to engage in immoral behavior, because that is unloving, regardless of how tempting or appealing that behavior might be, and even if your neighbor wants to engage in immoral behavior with you. It is unloving. It's also unloving to celebrate people engaging in sinful behavior. That is not loving them well, because love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Well, I've shared before that in our house, not only was gambling not okay, but we weren't to have anything that had to do with what some people use for gambling. So no playing cards, okay? I mean, it wasn't just we couldn't play poker and place bets. It was no playing cards. Now, when I got a little older and got around some retired missionaries, they all played rook. But those are not playing cards. Those are rook cards. And they don't bet, so that's different. So that was okay. But the silliest, most obnoxious rule regarding gambling paraphernalia was that we could play Monopoly, but we couldn't have dice. So my father made us a spinner. I mean, literally, he went to the five and dime, and he got one of those little brass brads that you can poke through a piece of paper and spread it out on the other side, which was never designed to be used to make a spinner. And it didn't work well, but that was our spinner. And so as a result, I did not become the magnificent capitalist that I could have been if, as a child, I'd been trained in Monopoly. I am so grateful that God in his mercy not only continued to wean my parents off of that, but God delivered me. It's been a process, but by the time I was in my teens, I had grasped the gospel well enough that one day, many of you have heard this story, but some of you have not, one day when I was up on the campus of Montreat College, we lived in the town of Montreat, very small town, very low population, small, at that time, junior college up in the heart of town, and I would go up there to try and lead people to Christ. I walked into the gym, and there were a number of kids sitting on the bleachers here, not doing anything in particular that I could tell, and so I began asking them about their personal faith. And it became clear very quickly that they were not claiming to be Christian. They believed in God, but they were not pretending to be Christian, which is actually farther along toward salvation than people who are totally lost but think they're saved. Okay? Much harder to lead someone to Christ if they think they are already a Christian. But these folks didn't think that they were Christian. They just believed in God and went to a Presbyterian college. And at that time, that school even had professors who didn't love the Lord. Now, it's Christ-centered school, thank God. But this one girl, when I was asking about whether or not they would like to know how they could receive eternal life, this one girl, Amy, spoke up and she said, "I would love to be a Christian, but I can't." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, I'm not going to say. And I said, "Well, no, that's an intriguing statement. You'd love to be a Christian, but you can't. Why can't you?" And she said, "I'm not going to tell you. If they want to tell you, they can." And she got up and went out of the gym. So I turned to her friends and I said, "Okay," she said, "you can tell me. Why does she think she can't be a Christian?" And they kind of looked at each other and one of them said, "Well, she said we could say. She smokes pot all the time." And I said, "That's it?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I'll see y'all later." I ran out the door and chased Amy down as she's walking down the street. I said, "Amy, let me talk to you. Your friends said that the reason you think you can't be a Christian is because you smoke pot. Is that right?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what do you think it means to be a Christian?" And she said, "Well, you don't do this and you don't do this." I said, "Well, actually, that's not what it means." I said, "I would love to talk with you more." Well, we talked for a long time. And I continued to share the gospel with her. And she said, "Okay, I want to receive Jesus, but there's still something else I have to do first. I need to get rid of this. And she reached inside her bra and she pulled out, she had a blouse on, but she reached inside her bra where she had tucked a small box that had several joints and some seeds. She said, I need to get rid of this first. And I said, no, actually you don't. Put it back. Well, she was surprised, but she complied. And I said, the reason I don't want you to try and get rid of that right now is because if you think you can clean yourself up and make yourself acceptable to God, you have still not understood the gospel. It's not just the marijuana that needs to go away. It's not just that that needs to change. Jesus is going to transform your life. You're going to go from spiritual death to eternal life. And he's going to transform you. But if you get rid of that right now, you're going to think you made yourself clean for God. And we can't. So I said, what I want you to do is come to the Lord just as you are and ask him to save you. And he will. So she did. And he did. And after we'd prayed, I said, okay, now, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, has Jesus saved you? She said, yes. And I said, so what do you want to do with that marijuana? She said, I want to get rid of it. And I said, good. That's what we need to do. And we went down and got rid of it. Dumped it over the dam at Lake Susan. As I've said before, there were probably some very confused trout. But here's the thing. If you and I think that somehow becoming a Christian is we're going to fix ourselves up and turn over a new leaf, we're mistaken. We've not understood the gospel. But if you think that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and keep living the way you did before, you have not understood the gospel. Because the gospel is not just that Jesus died so we could be forgiven. The gospel is that Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. And eternal life is not about continuing in sin. It is about a transformation in which God lives inside of us and makes us increasingly like Jesus. That is really good news. Now, you have this verse that I said was going to be our focus. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So I still have a sinful nature. I mean, that clings to me still. What do I need to do with regard to that? I need to consider that dead. Paul says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, verse 24, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Paul tells us in Romans 6 that we're to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay? But that doesn't mean those desires just go away. It means that when those desires come up, I have to say, no. We all still experience sinful desires. Yes, we're tempted. But that doesn't mean that we're slaves to sin. If we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we now have the capacity to say no. Because God gives us that power. We now have the freedom that we didn't have when we were slaves to sin, dead in trespasses and sin, animated by the forces of darkness that are now at work among those who are disobedient. So when I approach what verse 16 is talking about, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, I want you to understand that my first reflexive approach to that subject is to get it backwards. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. What do I have to do? Well, I'm going to have to stop gratifying the desires of the flesh. That's what I'm going to have to do. And if I can clean up my act and stop sinning, then I can walk in the Spirit. That's the way I think. And God says, Jim, you're right back to that unsaved mindset. I want you to learn to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. That's like I'm driving the car, and God is my co-pilot, okay? And I'm going to try and get him safely to the other side. And we get into some tough stuff, and the car is sliding, and cars and trucks around us are doing bad stuff. And it looks like we may be about to crash. And I say, wow, let me see if I can get us out of this jam. And then I think I'm going to ask you to drive. I've never understood the God is my co-pilot sticker. Okay? I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I want God to be my pilot. I want him to drive. I want him to be in charge. I'd rather be a passenger. It's not even my car. My life is his. My time is his. My money is his. My talents are his. My relationships are his. Everything belongs to him. I want him to be in charge. And so when I pray, I've learned to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not, hey God, quick, I need you to do this. You understand? Instead of thinking that you're going to stop gratifying the desires of the sinful nature so that you can start living by the Spirit, put it in the order that God did. Seek him. Abide in Christ. And as you abide in Christ, instead of a bunch of sin being produced in your life, there's going to be more and more of the fruit of the Spirit. And the contrast is obvious. Verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, first on the list. Impurity. Ooh, that ratchets it up. You see, I was thinking that as long as I don't physically engage in sexual immorality, then kind of whatever goes on in here is fine. You know? I can't control this. I mean, and then I read the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart. Oh. This says sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Now, debauchery is like the other end of the spectrum. Just a little bit of what doesn't belong is impurity. Debauchery is like total other end of the spectrum. And what God's saying is the whole thing is bad. Okay? How much botulism will you accept in your food? I mean, you know, is it just a little okay? Now, impurity doesn't belong. It's right in there with debauchery. Idolatry, which, by the way, greed is idolatry, the Bible says. And witchcraft. It's real. Don't celebrate it. Don't think that Harry Potter is just innocent fun. Hatred. Is that on the list? Yeah, hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. That's when you only occasionally explode. Not okay. That is an act of the sinful nature. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That phrase, and the like, means if there's anything else I didn't specifically mention, but you know it's along these same lines, it's included. Then he says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor Wood, now it sounds like you're saying we've got to clean up our act. No, what I'm saying is that if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't engage in those behaviors. Was it possible for a person to be born again and still fall into sin? Absolutely. But you don't live like that. You repent. You cry out to God for deliverance, and God will come through. 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So now we know the bad stuff that needs to go away. How do we get it to go away? By living by the Spirit, abiding in Christ. Here's what will happen when we abide in Him. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love doesn't engage in all those behaviors. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And what does it look like? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You think, well, I'm not a very patient person. I do need to make myself more patient so that I can walk in the Spirit. No, you need to walk in the Spirit so that you'll be more patient. The solution is to run to the Lord. Say, God, I need you to change me. I don't like this junk. It doesn't belong anymore. Have any of you ever been sick and thrown up? Did you ever get it on yourself? Did you ever get vomit on yourself? I remember when I was a little kid, I was running to the toilet to try and throw up into the toilet, and I didn't make it. Instead, I threw up onto the floor, and when my feet hit the floor that had vomit on it, they slid out from under me, and suddenly now I'm seated in vomit, sliding my way to the toilet along a stream of vomit, which I'm replenishing as we go. Okay? It was really gross. It was such a memorable experience. I was a preschooler, but I remember it. I saved those clothes. I mean, I stopped vomiting, but I thought I need to kind of keep this as a reminder of what happened. You think? Do you think? Of course not! It's like, that is stinky, sick stuff. I don't want that anymore. That's what we need to believe about this sin. But where will we go to be set free from it? To Jesus. Run to Him. Say, Lord, I need you to change me. I need you to clean me up. I need you to transform me from the inside out. Lord, you're the one who saves. Please, I can't save myself. I'm not going to try. I'm going to run to you. Lord, please. That's how we are able to crucify the sinful nature and its desires, is because we run to Him and we say, He is my Lord. I want to do what pleases Him. God will come through for you, and you will not be instantly transformed into someone who just exudes love and manifests the fruit of the Holy Spirit at all times. But what will happen is that you will become increasingly like Jesus. More and more and more and more and more, you'll be like Him. And that, folks, is really good news. May God grant that we would repent and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org.